Hello, folks. It's Darius here, the host of Dyslexia Explored. I've got a very interesting person to introduce to you today. He's the CEO of an award-winning company in the dyslexia world, and he's dyslexic himself. And I've invited him on to share a little bit about his dyslexia story as an individual, as a CEO of a company, how he's navigated that and created this international company in America, UK, Australia, all around the world. I'd like to introduce you to Jack Churchill. Jack, thanks for being here on the podcast.
Darius, well, thank you so much for having me. And I think podcasts are a fantastic way of everyone, particularly in these times, just hearing more and understanding more about life and strategies for dealing with life. So well done you for putting these on.
It's a pleasure, and thanks very much for coming on. I know you're very busy, and you've got a big event coming up. 5th of October is coming up, which is the Dyslexia Awareness Day and International Dyslexia Awareness Week. And you've got your t-shirt on for Go Red. And it's one of the reasons what attracted me to what you were doing. I was like, who's behind this Go Red campaign where they've got, like, you know, you've got, I don't know, 50 plus different dyslexia organizations around the world, companies and so on, all getting ready to go red on Monday. Tell us a bit about that first, would you?
Yeah, so in October every year is Dyslexia Awareness. It's a long established tradition. And we, as a company which places dyslexia at the heart of what we do at Scanning Pens, the company I'm co-founder and chief executive of. And so Dyslexia Awareness Week, month, day, it's different ways you can see it, as it were. We very much get involved. And a few years ago, we started noticing that some parent groups were using the color red to use during Dyslexia Awareness, and I looked into why they were doing it, and it was to try and reclaim the color. They felt that the color red had been all over their school kids' papers and homework, and this was all about trying to reclaim the color red in a fun and positive way. And I believe it started in the US around 2012 with a parent group, and then it's generally just spread to Canada, Australia, and we thought, because we've got an international business, let's try and take this color red and take it internationally and see if we can make an even bigger splash during the month of October. So that's why I'm wearing the Go Red for Dyslexia t-shirt today.
I think that's fantastic. I think everyone who's got a mild or moderate or extreme dyslexia has experienced that sort of teacher scribbles of red all over their page, and, you know, could have done better, written in red, etc. down the bottom. It's fantastic.
Definitely.
So I want to hear your story, and I really want to hear, I think that parents would really love to hear, you had difficulty in school with dyslexia, but in this story, I'd really like to start the story where, what woke you up to Scanning Pens, why you're doing it, and bring us up to speed on that whole story arc. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about how dyslexia has affected you as an entrepreneur, and some of the strategies you've just developed in that, and partnerships and relationships and so on, because I know you've got some really interesting insights on all of that. So let's start right at the beginning. Before Scanning Pens, what was life like before Scanning Pens for you?
I pretty much never heard of the word dyslexia back in the 80s until I was diagnosed with dyslexia at the age of 14. I'd struggled at school quite a lot, particularly in tests and things. You'd walk into the classroom, there'd be a list on the wall, and I was always near the bottom of those lists. And you become used to not doing particularly well at school and people thinking you're the one at the bottom, the bit of a dunce. Anyway, it was a real revelation when I went one day to have a dyslexia assessment and they told me that I was dyslexic. And suddenly some of those issues, which they hadn't really bothered me that much. I think they probably bothered my parents more because they were worried about why I was doing not great at school. But yeah, getting that assessment, getting that label, which I was totally happy with, it gave me some relief actually, that you know, then I could focus on, and my teachers and my parents could focus on getting me the support I needed. Up until that point, I was just another kid doing badly at school. And I think getting that assessment is the most important step along the way for everybody. And once you know what the issue is, you can then set about trying to resolve it.
Absolutely. And so bring us, accelerate it up to the point of Scanning Pens. You know, why did you go into Scanning Pens? What's the story, the origin story of Scanning Pens? What was the wake-up call to Scanning Pens?
Yeah, I guess just connecting back to those, the dyslexia assessment, I then went on, passed my exams, I went on to university, I got a degree in computing and publishing, and I went and worked for a number of different companies, and one was an ed tech company around the time of 2000. And what happened then was the internet bubble collapsed, and it was a brand new era of business and technology. And suddenly the rug was pulled out, and a great friend of mine from university had come to work at that company. And suddenly we found ourselves without any work. And we thought, well, why don't we set up our own business? And somebody introduced us to an Israeli company called Wiscom Technologies, and they made some translating devices, data capture devices, and also a reading pen. And suddenly the word dyslexia was being mentioned again. This was a product that could support reading and dyslexia, and I was captivated by this. And although we did do a number of different businesses which didn't work out, and I think it's always good to try and fail and to then pick the horse that's the winner, I feel very fortunate that it was the Scanning Pen business that we did together that worked out, because being dyslexic, it is just so fantastic to think that now we've been able over the last number of years to support tens of thousands of young people and adults to read on their own, to be independent and to manage by themselves. So, that's been fantastic, as it were. The business kind of bumped along for, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years, didn't really go very far. We were selling a number of these pens in the UK. We then got approval for use of the pens and exams by the JCQ, which is the big awarding body that oversees the exams in the UK, and they said that any person could use one of these pens in any exams and without the need for accommodations. And that was a total game changer. So we then decided we needed some better technology, so we started talking to a Swedish company called CPen, and they were the ones to develop with us this new pen, which has basically a camera on the end. It's got a very large chip, so you can start having really nice quality voices. It's very fast, it's very accurate, and some teacher sets 100 times better than the previous pens we were selling. So suddenly we had a terrific product, and we knew what we were doing because we had all the experience of working with teachers over many years, and we've taken the business global over the last 5 years and set up offices in the US, Canada, Australia, and India. So,
I find this, I like to know what your biggest challenge was. And I think, what would you say was your biggest challenge in that process?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge, I mean, we probably should have got mentors earlier on. I think people should never be afraid of asking, perhaps older generation or people they see out there who have experience for more help. I think, a bit more early on advice from business hubs or mentors would have been a great thing. I think that probably for many years, having this older technology, which was really holding us back, and us not actually jumping up and fighting more to get newer technology created, what is what held us back for 8 or 9 years. We should have been more aggressive, but we didn't have the firepower, so we didn't have the revenue coming in. We were just working from our bedrooms at home, kind of like where we're all back now. But I think having the confidence to go after your dreams is really important. And I think if I was to go back in time and to say to myself, I would be a little bit more aggressive as to how about to overcome some of the hurdles in the business and to maybe seek support from others.
Yeah. Do you, I don't know about you, but I find this with my students and I find this with me. Sometimes we have this kind of stubborn independent streak that's like, no, I've got to be good at everything on my own. And I wonder sometimes if that's kind of an unfortunate byproduct of being in school where you're expected to be able to do everything. You've got to learn how to be good at everything. And then you realize you're not good at a lot of things. And then that kind of, I'm still trying to figure that out, you know, and I'm finding that myself, you know, like, no, Darius, you got to learn how to delegate. You got to learn how to get mentors. You don't have to be good at everything. You got to find your thing that you're good at and allow other people to find their thing, etc. How did you find that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of stuff goes back to when you're at school. It's not all bad, you know. If you are dyslexic struggling at school, you will find creative ways to overcome your difficulties, and you know, just hopefully it won't land you up in jail in the long run, because there is this school to prison pipeline. And this is why it's so important that we raise greater awareness for dyslexia and get more support to people who need the help. Because if you can't perform in your classroom, if you can't perform in your workplace to your highest abilities, you're going to keep coming unstuck. So I think there's definitely a great advantage sometimes to being dyslexic, because you do find those creative ways around to get help with your reading or whatever it might be, or to get from A to B. You'll get from A to B for sure. It's all about the journey, isn't it? And dyslexic people have to work a bit harder. Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, I think you're right that, even today, probably when I sit and do my business, we do feel that we should try and do it on our own, be independent, achieve on our own, because at school, we were always the one fighting for ourselves. There was no one else fighting for you. So now in the workplace, we'll just keep fighting for ourselves, and we won't be so open to asking others for assistance, because perhaps it's embarrassing. Perhaps, it's awkward.
Yeah. So you had this challenge. You bit the bullet and said, no, we're going to get this tech up to speed and up at the front. And that made a big through. But actually, you're saying your breakthrough happened when you managed to negotiate these reader pens into all the exams. Now, that's quite clever. And it's also amazingly beneficial to those mild to moderate dyslexics in the classroom that may not be identified and or may not get any accommodations, but they can pick up one of the pens and start using it as well, and it doesn't stand out as different.
You're absolutely right. I mean, actually, the exam board approval is what gave us the confidence to then suddenly go out there and say, right, we need to now get the technology that's going to make the difference for the children. Because before that, I'd been an approach to exam boards, and they were like, you're going to use a pen scanner in exams? No way. How's that going to work? And all the rest. And actually, the exam boards in the UK showed amazing foresight. They said, we need to prepare children for the workplace. And if they carry on having human readers sitting with them, supporting them with the reading in their exams, that is not setting them up for the workplace. And they also, secondly, had the pressures from the schools. They had some schools who had 30 kids taking one exam who struggled with reading. And to facilitate the exam day was a nightmare. They'd have to have 10, 20 human readers. They would all have to be trained. So they'd have to come in advance. Some of them might get ill or not be able to make it on the day for whatever reason. They'd have to put them in separate rooms. You could only have 3 or 4 children in a room together with a human reader and then another invigilator. So the benefits for the schools are huge here, but at the same time, it's achieving also what the Joint Council on Qualifications wanted, which is that more students are now back in the main exam hall. They've got their exam reader pen. They have their headphones plugged in. They're back with their peer group, which is really important too. I'm taking my exam today. Why am I being put in a separate room? why am I having that geography teacher come and read to me? I've never got on well with them. And don't get me wrong, sometimes the reader is the Rolls-Royce service, and you know, you may particularly like the person who's coming to read to you, but there's all these questions an already fairly anxious person is on their exam day. Like, how many times can I ask that person to read to me? You know, if I ask them one more time to repeat that, are they going to start, you know, giving me funny looks and all the rest? So in my mind, if you can't take the test, if you can't read the word on that geography paper or that physics paper, you can't answer the question. And so by allowing these pens to be used by anyone in any exam has totally leveled the playing field, because you're not being tested on your reading ability in these exams. And so anyone who's got English as an additional language, so maybe you're a Polish person who's living in the UK and you're struggling with some of the harder words in a maths paper, you can just turn this pen on, run it over and hear it aloud. Or maybe you're a dyslexic person who didn't quite qualify for access arrangements or haven't even been sent for accommodation, an assessment yet. All these people are now able to take the exams and read the question and then be able to answer it, because often we've got the knowledge up here in our brains, we just can't decode that question. So you might be brilliant at maths, but if you can't decode some of those words like trigonometry or whatever it is, you're going to really struggle to answer that question. We did a study with a school in Norwich City Academy. They rang up and they asked us for 90 pens to have for 6 months. And we were like, whoa, that's a lot of pens. And they said, well, we've got a pilot. We've got some money from the council. And they said at the end of the study that 4 out of 5 students who took their GCSEs using these pens, and they were English as an additional language or dyslexic students, they got better grades. And those students are now achieving the outcomes they deserve.
So I'll be honest with you, Jack. I hadn't really got how I would use a scanning pen, you know, like here's what I think a number of parents might be asking. My child can read, okay, basically, you know. Yep. So why would they need a scanning pen? Do they need a scanning pen? And okay, another way of putting this, my daughter's dyslexic as well. She had a reader. She could read, but she still required a reader. Now, could you explain to the listeners why they require a physical reader, and then why a scanner pen helps a child with dyslexia who can also read?
So, well, firstly, reading for pleasure or reading to do your schoolwork, you know, it's all about taking risks. You're constantly every year being faced with a whole new set of vocabulary, you know, newer words, longer words, more technical words. And rather than getting bogged down with, you know, struggling to decode those words, a device like this, you just turn it on, you run it over the words, it reads it aloud to you straight away. And it's just the fact of being independent, managing on your own, that is so empowering. And to be able to use it in the classroom or use it at home. I mean, if you talk about in the classroom, to stick your hand up, you know, in front of 29 other students and say, Miss, I can't read the words here. On, you know, when you're a teenager and self-conscious like that, you know, that is a massive, I think probably after a while, you stop asking for help and you get left behind. Whereas by having this with the earbuds plugged in, you can be listening to the teacher and hearing the individual words aloud. So it's just helping you transition through that text and be at the same level as everyone else in the classroom.
I see. Okay. I'm processing this live as we're talking. And I think I get more of... So you're not just using it to read general reading, but you're also using it to unlock new words and vocabulary and understanding, so that doesn't become a blocker for you in that journey. So yeah, when I'm thinking back, you know, yes, you don't get a particular word, you go away, you open it up in a dictionary, you lose your flow. And really what you're doing there is you've got a dictionary inside of this pen that then tells you what that word means.
Yeah, so there's a number of dictionaries on the pen. There's a North American dictionary, a Collins dictionary, and an Oxford Primary dictionary. For many years, it was just the Collins Dictionary, which is quite technical. There's 240,000 definitions in there. And when you scanned over the word cat, it would say computer-aided teaching, computer-aided training. So for a number of years, we really pushed, you know, our partners in Sweden who were developing the pens to add a simpler dictionary on. And so they added the Oxford Primary Dictionary. So now when you define the word cat, it says a fluffy household pet with whiskers and a tail that chases mice. And that is what we really want to hear, is just give us the nuts and bolts. What is the simple definition of this word? And then obviously, if you are a PhD student or you're a, you know, in the workplace and you need that more complicated dictionary, you can just go down to Collins and select the more complicated dictionary. But there's a couple of other features which are also of interest too. So the pens also keep a history. So in the dictionary mode, it stores the history of the words you've struggled with. So okay. You could even show those to your teacher every week or your parent, or you know, even just write them out yourself and find ways to try and decode those words. Because I think the more you study those words and hear those words, repeat them over and over again, the more connectivity you'll have to those words.
Yeah, because I was speaking with one of the students in my company, and she was telling me that she finds it hard with certain scientific words like distillation. And I was saying to her, right, okay. And I said, give me one of the words and I'll show you how I would remember it and map it out. And she said, distillation. I said, fine. So it goes dist-il-ation. Let's take some time to lock that in our memory. And so I said, ill. I'm going to imagine someone vomiting and being ill. And I'm imagining this girl, this woman vomiting, being ill, and I can remember that. And she's got in her hand this beaker that she's just distilled the alcohol, and she's drunk it, and it's made her sick. And the girl's going, ha! Ah! And then I said, well, let's think about dis. And then dist is like distance. So I'm thinking, I'm looking through binoculars, and I can see her in a circle, and she's being ill. And then I said, what about Asian? How do we remember Asian? She said, well, it's kind of like nation, like flags. So we put some flags in her hair. And so we're never going to forget this circle around the girl vomiting with flags in her hair because she's drunk some of the alcohol she's distilled when she shouldn't have. And so it just made me realize that actually, if you had a log of these words, you could say, right, I need to actually imagine and visualize this word.
Yep.
So that I don't, you become actually independent of the reader itself as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, Ibn. It's all about finding that strategy that works for you at the end of the day. And I also remember at school, you know, preparing for exams, I would quite often, I did, you know, a history A-level, and there was a lot of stuff to remember. And if you could make kind of, let's say it was a king, you could make a word relating to that king, Henry or whatever it was. And off each letter of that word came something to do with his life. And so that's the first, as soon as I saw that question was about blah, I would then write down on my scrap piece of paper, those eight letters. And then I'd start writing off what were those eight key facts that I wanted to recall for that test. So
that's brilliant. And at the end of this, let's do a quick demo of the scanning pen. But I want to, would you share a little bit in that journey of the scanning pens, making it all work with dyslexia? Let's talk about you personally. And could you tell us a little bit about your partnership with your co-founder and how that's helped you with your strengths and weaknesses? Could you tell us a little bit about, more about that? Because I think we could learn from that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you make friendships at school and at university, my business partner is someone I made friends with at university. We got on very well together. You know, it's very hard to understand why people become friends and all that, but you know, doing this business with someone for 17 years, you know, I think you find each other are quite frustrating at times, but you go into a business and there's something that makes the two of you work together as a team. And it's only in recent years that actually by our team having, our business having grown from 4 to now 70 or 80 people, that actually some of the real strengths are coming out of why we are such a good team together. So my dyslexia, I would say to you, I'm a slow reader, which holds me back. So I don't read as much as I should. I'm also quite disorganized and I would tend to arrive late for things. Whereas my business partner, he is a very quick reader. He's very organized. And, you know, my strengths, on the other hand, are I'm very good, I think, with people and being outward looking and joining the dots together. Yeah, I love all that kind of stuff. Whereas he is very good at he runs the back of our business, as it were, connecting all the employees together, making sure the website's working, making sure Google AdWords and Amazon and all these things are kind of joined up and operating. You know, I'm sure he's found me very frustrating to work with over the years. He's waited for things for days and days to come through. But at the end of the day, I think he is 100% respectful of who I am as a person. And I have the same respect for him. We both have our strengths. And they have so come into play. You know, for many years we struggled, we bumped along as a business, but we fought and we overcame challenge. And you know, we're now, you know, seeing the benefits of all that hard work coming through. And you know, life is very good for us right now. And I don't know, I just encourage young people and older people who are listening to this to, you know, if there's things you really believe in life, if you can try and just keep going at them, you know, that is a really good thing to do, because you know, we've totally shone through. And you know, much to our, both our wives were, after many years, like, guys, come on, you know, you're meant to make profit after 3 years, we heard. Why are you not making profit? And you know, we're now 6 years on and still doing this, but they've stuck with us. And you know, things are working out. And you know, I couldn't be happier, actually, because I feel we're now really supporting many more, as well as our 70 employees. We are bringing great benefit to literacy and dyslexic people around the world. So,
fantastic. It's great to hear that. You know, your story reminds me of Walt Disney, a very famous dyslexic. I read a book about Walt Disney, and not many people know this about Walt Disney, but he had a brother called Ron Disney, who was in the background all the time for his whole life.
Really?
And him and his brother had this close relationship, and Ron did all the back end work, all the accounting, all the technical stuff, and so on. And Disney had all the ideas and went off on one in the creation of the movies, the films, Disneyland, etc. And that, it's kind of like, I think everyone needs a Ron. Everyone with dyslexia needs a Ron if they really want to, you know, flourish, I think. And I think sometimes I think I'm not dyslexic enough, because I think if you're really dyslexic, like Richard Branson and other very famous entrepreneurs, there, Jackie Stewart, very famous Scottish dyslexic, he didn't admit he couldn't actually read what was on his checkbook. He couldn't write some of the words for certain numbers. And so what he'd do is he'd go to a shop and he'd keep buying things until it got to a number he could write on his checkbook. And he kept it hidden from his wife and others and so on, became a millionaire, very wealthy businessman, very successful, but he was compelled to delegate.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. I'd not heard this Disney, you know, comparison before. And I think there is definitely something there, like you say. And you know, Disney was hugely talented, but without his brother, you know, it would have been, you know, just a bunch of drawings perhaps or ideas. And yeah, it's the same with us. You know, we've really sort of come together, lots of ideas from both of us, but you know, Toby's really driven things forward and made things happen, and you know, kept some of my ideas you know, under control to a certain extent. So yeah, it's you're right. And actually another thing that sort of masks my dyslexia nowadays is that we've got, you know, a marketing team, we've got an operations team, we've got accounts team. You know, when you're developing a business on your own or with a business partner, you've got to do all those skills yourself.
Yes.
And so now I feel we're able to flourish a bit and, you know, get involved with Succeed with Dyslexia and Go Red and, you know, support charities like the BDA and the International Dyslexia Association, because we've got the organizational structure that means that, you know, we've got people all day doing other things. So, you know, getting those tasks done that You know, I'm not an accountant, but, you know, for many years I was having to pretend to be an accountant. I was having to chase up the schools for money or you know, match things up. And yeah, I'm now able to do what I want to do, which is to get out there, meet people and speak to exam boards, try and break down more barriers to allow more people to, you know, hopefully get through school and, you know, access text in the workplace and achieve their goals in life.
There's a number of folk listening right now. And if you've got any questions, listeners, just send them in. I've got some here. Let's just go through them. Melinda is saying, still struggling with diagnosis in the US, many schools resistant to using technology. I'm so glad to have seen this. Victoria says, I've been thinking about getting a scanning pen for my son for months, but I've been unsure. Melinda saying, oh my gosh, that's my daughter, has to be perfect at everything. And isn't it interesting? I find that with students, a lot of students with dyslexia are perfectionists. And it's a bit, this is the biggest irony sometimes, you know, our notes can be so messy and yet we can have this perfectionist streak that can just, they have to be perfect and so on, but they're often useless because, you know, we're thinking about the form and not the substance of them. Melinda, do you find that comes with pressure from schools or lack of acknowledgement of the disability and lack of technology being used? A lot of these are live while we're talking. So
no, it's very interesting.
I'll listen to the comments a bit more.
Well, if I could just jump in with one comment about American exams. So I was very fortunate. 2 years ago, I got to open the opening session of the International Dyslexia Association's annual conference. And I got 2 minutes to stand up, and we were a sponsor of the event, and 2 minutes to stand up in front of all the delegates who were there. And it's on YouTube. You can find it if you want to. But my message I wanted to get across to them was that we had broken down huge barriers in the UK now, that people were able to now take exams using devices like this and not have accommodations. Because in the States, they often have 2 years of battling to get the diagnosis, and they've got lawyers and all the rest. And I was overwhelmed because everyone just applauded in the whole room when they heard that there are now places in the world where people can take exams and they're not subject to having to conform to reading abilities or disabilities, let's say, so that anyone who struggles with any form of reading, whatever the reason, they can use technology like this to take the exam, read the question and answer it. Because, you know, so many of us have got the knowledge up here, but we just can't access the words on the paper.
Yeah. And I think it's helpful for our listeners in America, you know, to hear this story. Because a lot of people, I mean, that's remarkable. I mean, we don't even have that in Scotland yet. I mean, for those of you in America and Australia, you know, the UK is United Kingdom of four nations, and we are very different nations. So English exam boards have approved this, but Scottish exam boards, you still have to get a diagnosis and permission. Is that correct?
Yeah, you have to apply for access arrangements. And yeah, they, in England, they say it has to be your normal way of working. So England and Wales and Northern Ireland, it has to be your normal way of working to use the pen. You can't just be given it on the day of your exam. Yeah. You have to actually be using it in the classroom, which makes sense. They don't want schools just to, oh, sorry, your human reader didn't turn up, so we found you this bit of technology. Uh-huh. Yeah, because you should be using this at home to do your homework, because you've got the same issues at home as you have in the classroom. You get home to do your homework, and your parents are busy doing, you know, probably working or cooking or whatever they're up to. They don't have time to sit with you and read to you and support you with your homework. So the more we can enable people, whether it be text-to-speech on a computer or on a device or on a pen scanner like this, we very much as an organization have a toolbox approach. So we would tell your listeners to, you know, embrace any kind of technology they can find out there. And you know, what you don't know, you don't know. That's a phrase I heard earlier in the year from a speaker at the assistive technology conference that happens every year in Florida. And that is so true. You know, get out there and, you know, people have had problems like this before. You're not the first person. So get out there and see what examples, what solutions there are out there. And yeah, it will make a difference to your outcome in life if you've got Dragon on your computer so you can dictate into it, or you've got certain apps or pen scanners like this to support you in your everyday reading.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, Vicky is asking us, she's thinking about getting one of these pens, but I didn't expect this to be a scanning pen infomercial, and I'm very happy for that to be the case because I'm learning so much about it already. I have to be honest, I've kind of overlooked scanning pens and thought, I can't really see how they would fit within my toolkit or students' toolkit per se, but it's really been helpful to sort of see these practical uses of it. But Vicky's asking, she's concerned he'll lose the pen or forget it. We're very forgetful dyslexics. Have you got any take on that?
Well, so they all come with a carry case, and you can also get a lanyard too. So you can put it around your neck on a lanyard, and it goes into like a sleeve, a TPU material sleeve to look after it. So, I think you just have to have it in the pencil case as one of the things that lives in there, and hope that they'll look after it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, just popping it into the usual pencil case.
And Darius, one other thing I wanted to mention was, in this day and age, lots of people have got tablets and screens and all the rest. And whilst I would obviously recommend using as many tools as you can, there is often this like, well, you can use your iPad. You've got an app on there. It will read to you. And I actually think there's certain advantages to having a device like this over something like an iPad, which you can use an app to read a whole page back to you. Because if you're reading a book like this and you get stuck on a word, rather than picking up your phone, turning it on, unlocking it, finding the app, and then taking a picture, having it converted, this is literally reading within a few seconds to you the word you get stuck on. I'm rather sort of, I'm a bit, I wouldn't necessarily want people just taking pictures of each page with their phone and having it read back to them. I feel they're losing some of the educational value. And also with a phone or a tablet, you can get very easily distracted. There's obviously social media, internet, emails, lots of stuff going on. So for me as a dyslexic person, I'm not getting distracted now because I've just got my book and I've got my pen, which isn't connected to the internet. It's not doing anything too whizzy. It's just literally reading those words or phrases or lines I've got stuck on. So that whole process of study, which is what you know more about than any of us, of keeping somebody focused and on the ball, as it were, I think is quite important too. And I think it seems like the silver bullet, just to say, oh, well, use a tablet for everything. But actually, it's not always the best way.
Fascinating. Okay, so we've talked about the beginning of the scanner pen story, the where you're at now, and what do you think the future has got to hold? What's your kind of vision where are things going?
Well, I have a personal ambition through all this, which is to try and break down more barriers and exams around the world, because I know myself that when I got the right support for, exams, it made such a difference to me. So I'm very keen to try and talk to more exam boards around the world and see if we can get more of them to allow technology to be used without the need for accommodations. I think part of the fear for exam boards is, oh my gosh, everyone's going to have to be on computers, or we're going to have to introduce something very costly or expensive, but it's not always the way like that. So, I'm going to keep up my work at bashing down exam boards' doors to try and push for further, I guess, liberalization of the accommodations that they offer. As a company, we're going to keep looking to progress the pens and make them. I'd like to have this working in more languages. This one already works in 10 languages today. And, if we could work in 40 languages, obviously we'd be supporting more people to read exams. Yeah, there's definitely more that can be done. And, we take feedback from teachers and parents all the time and try and onboard them onto the devices.
And you're starting to move into the realm of, you were telling me about the Senko, the in-house Senko, creating materials for teachers and parents and so on to, because one of the limitations is, often teachers don't know what dyslexia is and they don't know what to do about it. So
definitely. So,
your plan with that?
Yeah. So last year we were very fortunate to have the resources to take on a SENCO, so which is like a special educational needs coordinator. You'd call them maybe a special educator in the States. And she's got 25 years of experience. She's called Julia Clouter. And she is really helping to change our business from the inside to be much more educational focused. So, you know, she's started developing, you know, guides for schools about implementing assistive technology and, you know, how to deploy it in the classroom so that maybe you drop the pen in, rather than giving the pen to the most needy child, you might put two or three in the middle of the classroom and say, hey, these are some new technology. I don't know how it works. Why don't you have a go with it? And it just maybe reduces some of the stigma of the struggling reader in the classroom. Everyone's using it and, you know, getting on board with it from day one. So, and as you mentioned, you know, teachers don't always get much more than half a day's worth of tuition on dyslexia. And there's probably very little information about assistive technology. So we feel it's our responsibility as a company to, wherever we can, to provide a bit of information and to signpost to the relevant organizations. So that might be the British Dyslexia Association or the American Dyslexia Association or the SPELDs in Australia. You know, we're always trying to signpost people to their local center of best practice to get knowledge and advice. Because again, you know, if you don't know what's out there to support individuals. And I guess it changes too. You know, policy changes from time to time and people need to be doing continual professional development to get a better understanding of things. So, you know, we as a company really try and embrace now the education side of things and push it out there with our technology. Because it's all very well to provide a box, but if you're not providing a bit more information with it, then, you know, it's not much good.
So I normally end podcasts with, what advice would you give your teenage self? And what advice would you give yourself as a parent if you could go back? Or you've got children already. What kind of advice would you give teenagers and parents?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the world has totally changed since we were young. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, our world seems to revolve around our kids nowadays. When I was young, my parents obviously loved me and cherished me, but which was great. But, you know, I feel nowadays parents are much more clued up to what supports their children really need. And, well, at least getting there, let's say. They're not maybe totally clued up, but, you know, I think people are much more alert to what's going on. There are forums on the internet and in places that people can go and pose questions, get advice. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. You know, things like the internet have really opened up the knowledge base. You know, there's no excuse for any of us not looking further into why our child is struggling with reading, why our child is struggling with writing. And the teacher is not always the fountain of knowledge. Often the parent becomes the knowledge base for that particular issue, whether it be dyslexia, dyspraxia, ADHD, or, you know, any other condition. But the diagnosis is key. I would always push anybody now to get a diagnosis at the earliest age. Even, you know, 6-7 years old is beginning to be a perfect age to go about that. Because, you know, I visited a couple of dyslexia schools in Atlanta 1 year, and I was really surprised. I thought they would keep the children until they were 18. And they're like, no, we take them in at 7-8 years old. We assess them and we then push them back into mainstream schools by the age of about 12. And I thought that was just fantastic that they were only having them for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years, remedial support, get them back up to speed with their peer group and then push them, you know, back into the mainstream schooling. Just seemed like, you know, a fantastic solution to me.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much, Jack. This has been really helpful. I mean, let's finish up the podcast. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I'm going to ask Jack to do a visual demonstration of the pen, and you can find it on our Facebook Live. I'll put it into the show notes if you want to see the demo of scanning pens. I'm sure they've got other demos, etc. Okay, can you do like, you know, Jack, I found a lot of children with dyslexia often have difficulty with biology, for example. They've got a huge fascination with being practical, doctor, midwife, physiotherapist, whatever. But sometimes the terminology can trip them up and they can get muddled up. Can the scan, the pen reader, help with technical language like biological terms?
The pen has actually got a text-to-speech engine inside it. So it could be a name of a place. It could be anything, really. And it will know how to decode that word, how to break it down and then say it. It won't. It's a piece of technology at the end of the day. It's a tool. It won't always be 100% perfect. But we've had medical students say to us that this is actually gives them better pronunciation of words than sometimes the human readers who they've had helping them with their study skills at university.
Interesting. That's fascinating, because I've got a number of doctors in Bullet Map Academy who are, you know, what are students and getting the online tutoring and the courses. And that's one of the biggest challenges sometimes. A lot of these audio readers, I was speaking to a doctor in Glasgow, and she was saying a lot of the audio readers aren't accurate on medical terms. So like drag and dictate, you know, that can become useless for them because they're like, look, you're not getting that. I can see you're not saying that word right. And it's not helping me on those key words. So a scanner pen could help with those key words.
Yeah, for sure. And also there's something about the mobility of it too. The fact it can be, you know, it's totally portable. You can take it anywhere. It's not reliant on Wi-Fi or any other device to make it work. So, you know, we're doing quite a lot of work with prisons at the moment, and they actually, you know, it's very hard for prisoners who have very low literacy. Generally, I think about 50% of prisoners have, you know, a very low level of literacy. You know, we need as a society to find ways for those people to read, either in the education wings or in their cells, because otherwise they're not going to come out reformed from prison. They're not going to become, you know, better people for society. So, yeah, technology is a great enabler, and there's so many different places that technology can go out to support people. I mean, even in the last few years on our mobile phones, aren't you finding we're all using so many more things than we ever used before? SatNav is one thing that's totally changed. You know, I used to get so lost reading the map. You're stopping for 20 minutes. Which way round is it? Where am I now? SatNav has just changed, you know, so much about how we get places. And then the whole voice to text, you know, that is something we all need to be using more of as well. So
yeah, Jack, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thanks very much for being here. Is there anything finally that we will put links in the show description for all of the things that Jack's mentioned, like the videos and the website and anything? Is there anything else that you think would be, we should say a final plug about Go Red on Monday, shouldn't we?
Yeah, Go Red for dyslexia. So I mean, I just encourage any of the listeners who are interested in dyslexia, just get on it and find out more and look for technology, look for applications that can help you to overcome your challenges, because, you know, by George, someone has already thought about some of these things and you know, developed stuff. And there's so many amazing things going on around the world at the moment, and people are collaborating and sharing ideas and, you know, fascinating groups. But yeah, Go Red for Dyslexia Awareness this month in October, and, you know, try and help raise more awareness in schools and in the workplace to dyslexia. Let's try and remove some of that stigma and make dyslexia, you know, an acceptable thing to discuss and, you know, to support.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.